Thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church. If you would like more information on previous messages or sermon series, visit our website at oursaviorschurch.com, or you can call the office at 337-839-8889. Once again, thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church.
I want to go ahead and jump into today's message, and today's one of those kind of reset messages. Today is, normally I preach in series, so we'll do a series, we'll take a topic and preach about that topic or theme for 3 or 4 weeks, but we kind of, the way the calendar fell, we have a couple of weeks that are kind of, I call them freestanding, or a freestanding sermon. So kind of, I like to, what I call visioneering, to kind of go back to our mission, our vision, to kind of relay that out for you. If you're a guest with us today, today's a good day to be here. You're going to kind of hear what we're about. And I want to just say some things that I've said before to you. I'm going to repeat some things. How many of you are parents? How many of you have ever had to repeat some things to your children? Yeah, you keep saying it over and over. And why do you keep saying it over and over? Because they forget. Well, guess what happens in church? Sometimes the pastor has to say things over and over because we forget as well. So just to kind of revision, remission, reset you on why we're even here. It has been pretty supernatural. Pastor Jim LaFoon was just here a few weeks ago, prophesied over not only some of the individuals in the room, but also prophesied over you as a community, the community of faith in St. Landry Parish and beyond. And he said this to you. He said, what God is doing here, he's shining a light in a forgotten place, that to tear down prejudice, pride, and poverty, and that there will be people who come to see you, to see what you've done to break down that barrier between black and white, Republican, Democrat, and independent, Protestant, and Catholic. How many of you know prejudice has many forms? It's not just colors of skin. It builds a wall between socioeconomic classes. It builds a wall between, again, religious classes of people, Protestant and Catholic. And you've heard me say many times, I don't care what flag you fly, Baptist, we got some Baptists up in here. We got a lot of Baptists up in here. We got some Pentecostals up in here. No, they're usually hoot and holler. What's wrong with y'all? We've got some Catholics up in here. Yay. That's the most y'all have ever yelled. If you're Catholic, that's it right there. Y'all are cutting loose, the Catholics are. I don't care what flag you fly, as long as you flag the flag of Jesus higher than any of those titles. Because listen, man can put labels on all kinds of, can put all kinds of labels. They're black, they're white, they're rich, they're poor, Republican, Democrat, or independent. He can use all of those labels, but how many of you know Jesus only has two labels? There's only two labels that he sees. He doesn't see in color, he doesn't see in wealth, he doesn't see in your religious tradition. He only sees in two. And these are the labels that he sees. He sees in lost and he sees in found. It's the only two labels. He came to seek and save that which was lost. It was his mission. Well, what do you think the church ought to be about? If that was the mission of Jesus, we're simply carrying on the very mission of which he laid out. In fact, when he went to the huddle with his disciples before he was going to exit, and he called a huddle. You know what a huddle is, right? That's where the quarterback is going to call a play. And he got down on one knee, just like Drew Brees. I know, I saw it. I couldn't see it. And he said this, hey guys, here's the play. I want you to go into all the world, and I want you to preach the gospel, and I want you to make disciples, and I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. That was the play he ran. That's the play he called. That was the last thing he said. It may be the first thing he asks us about when we see him. Did you run the play? Did you go and seek that which was lost? Are y'all tracking with me? We're here. Don't forget, we're building a beautiful building. It's going to be fantastic. I told you my two dreams. One of them's going to come to pass. It's either going to be empty or full. I don't even know. How many know? It's nothing. It's not really a church. It's just a tool. It's just a place where the lost can be found. Can I get an amen from the congregation? I want to reset you. I want to remind you that we're not here for us. In fact, that building is not even, we're not even building that for you. We're building it for the lost so they can have a place to be found. Are y'all with me? So even when you sit in those pews for the first time and you're going to enjoy it, and where I'm going to cry and you're going to cry and we're going to be so excited, can you believe we did it? And you're going to, we're going to rejoice, and we are. But we're going to also remember it's simply a tool. It's just an avenue of which we can be about the play that Jesus told us to run, to go reach the lost and to give a place where they can be found. I want to remind you, 19,817, say it with me, 19,817, 19,817 is within driving distance of our church of people who I told you last week we would consider nuns. Where they checked the box of no religious affiliation whatsoever. Though many of them grew up in church and have a tradition, maybe even grew up in faith, but it either walked away from it or maybe the church moved from them. And they checked none. 19,817. What am I trying to say to you? We're just getting started. The new building is not an end. It's just a beginning. It's just a new chapter of the next chapter. And I want to just make sure we reset a little bit of what we're about. The four things that we do here at Our Savior's Church. Let me give you number one. We want every person to know God. In fact, we work very hard on a Sunday. I hope we do okay. It's a good place to encourage me. That took a long. That was way too long, and I had to ask for it. No, we know. You know what? We give the message at the end of this message. I'm going to do it just like I do every single Sunday. We're going to give an opportunity for someone to give their life to Jesus, to be born again. I'm going to say the same prayer that I've said every time. You know, most of you can even repeat the prayer that I'm going to say. Well, there's a method to the madness, is because we want you to learn how to pray so that you can lead people to the Lord yourself. How many of you know it's not just the church's job? In fact, Scripture tells us that every single one of us, if you're a believer, should do the work of an evangelist. That you ought to be about seeking and saving that which is lost. And so, we want people to know God. We work hard on a Sunday. I know within the room today that we've got three different kinds of people in the room. There's the new Christians, the babies. We call them lambs. We got the lambs in the room. And then we've got the older Christians that walked with God for a while. I like to call them rams. We got the lambs and the rams. It's hard sometimes to preach to lambs and rams at the same time. You got to challenge them both. And then I know there's also a third group of people in here. I don't want to call them the goats. No. I know that there are people who are checking out faith. So they're here. They don't know. They're seeking something. They're not even sure what they're seeking. And how many of you know our goal on a Sunday morning is not to get people saved. It's not to get people born again. Our goal on a Sunday morning is for them to come back. Because we know if they don't come back, then we can't complete the play that Jesus told us to run. Not just get them born again, but to get them discipled. And so we want them to come back, and we work hard. We want you to enjoy service. Our goal has always been that you'd feel better when you left than when you came in. Are we doing okay on that? Now's a good time to encourage us. Yeah. The team, everybody, the rest of you who didn't clap or shout, get out of the church. No, I'm teasing. So we want people to know God. We know that Sunday mornings is probably where most people are going to come kick the tires. They're going to check it. They're in here today. They're among you. They're here today checking it out. Is this real? And then let me give you the second thought. Is we not only want you to know God, we want you to find freedom. Did you know that Jesus didn't just come to save you? That's not the completed work of the cross. That's just the beginning. He wanted you to not just get born again and go to heaven. He wanted you to get free. He didn't come just to save you. He came to set you free. Free from what? Let's be honest. Look at your neighbor. They got some hurts, some habits, and some hang-ups. Just look, yeah. Somebody, amen. I'm looking at him. Yeah. The truth is, all of us do. We've all walked through some stuff in our life. I like to say it this way. Everybody's got some junk in the trunk. Yes. And so we want you to find freedom. It's why we created small groups. And one of the emphases of one of those small groups is a freedom small group, where we can start speaking to the patterns that we've grown up thinking so that we can break those down so that we can start living a life of freedom. Some of you might remember, I actually had Uncle Russ one Sunday and Clint Andrus one Sunday stand up. Because I asked him this question. That's an African-American man, Uncle Russ, and a white man, a really white dude, who've happened to become best of friends. And I asked Uncle Russ, I said, Uncle Russ, what was the pattern and thinking that you grew up with about white people? He said, oh, Pastor, they're all liars. You can't trust them. Never trust a white man. And then I went over to Clint, who is the white man, and said, what did you grow up? What was the pattern of thinking that you thought about someone who happened to be black? He said, Pastor, they're all liars. You can't trust any of them. Do you see the work of the enemy? He was telling the same lie to both sides to keep them separated. But if they would come together, well, I don't know what could happen up in St. Landry Parish. Are you with me? We want people to find freedom to change the pattern of thinking. Some of the labels that have been put on you. Some of us got labels that were to our detriment. You grew up hearing them. And then you're still walking, and that still replays over and over in your mind that you can't go fulfill the very purpose which God has laid hold of you until you find freedom. It'll be like the dog in the front yard that is chained to a tree. You'll start running after the car, the purposes of God, and how many of you know, eventually the chain will run out. And you'll always find yourself stuck in a continuing cycle. How many freedom people do I have in the room? You've already been through. Let me hear you. You got to go through freedom. So you heard on the advertising, jump in, get in a freedom class. Let me give you number three real quick because I'm going to preach a little bit to you here in a second. I just want to reset you. Why are we here? What are we doing? And then we want you to discover your purpose. Can I just say a couple of things over you? You are not an accident. You are on purpose. In fact, God took on purpose and caused you to be put into this period of time. Some of you even thought, I wish I should have been born at another time. Your parents told you were an accident. They told you it was the wine. It wasn't the wine. In fact, the scripture says over here in Psalms 139 that before any of your days came to be, that the Lord took and knitted you together in the womb of your mother. In fact, he's even ordained all the days of your life before any of them were even breathed. He's already ordained them, which means there is a purpose for which he has laid hold of you. There's a reason you've been saved and set free so you can discover that purpose so you can go fulfill it in your lifetime. That means we all have a God assignment here on this earth. Do you receive that? Yes. You have an assignment. If you don't know what your assignment is, that's why we've created our Grow Track where you can go into it. In fact, you heard the advertisement today that you can go in there. One of the things we'll do is help you discover not only your personality, how God created you, but also some of the motivational gifts of what really motivates you, because God created you like that. And then let me give you the number fourth, is to go out and make a difference. We want to put you on a team so you can start serving. Everybody look right here. There's two groups of people in the room. Two. Consumers and contributors. Consumers and contributors. We'll let you consume for a while. But if you're growing in God, you should move from being a consumer to being a contributor. That's where you feel the smile of God. It was Eric Liddell, the Olympian, who said, God made me fast, and when I run, I feel the smile of God. That there is something that God has created you to do, and you'll sense his smile when you're doing it. Every single one of us has a purpose, and we want to help you discover it so you can begin to make a difference, because there's 19,817 who are waiting for you. Do you receive this word so far today? Okay. I want to help you, and then let me just preach just a little bit to you. I got 15 minutes. To do that. But let me just talk to you what I hope watermarks this church and this campus. We live in a difficult place. The reality is. Pastor Tim DeLena and his wife Cindy came here from Detroit, Michigan in a community called Highland Park. It is said to be one of the worst neighborhoods in America. I looked up the statistics one day on wed mothers, yearly income, school dropout rates, educational levels, all the stats, and looked at them. And then I pulled up Opelousas proper right beside it. And you know what I found out? We're neck and neck. We're both competing for the same award, one of the worst neighborhoods in America. Isn't it interesting that God would put us together and put us in a place where it looks like maybe he needed us the most? Oh, this ain't for the faint of heart. This is for those who really want to see God move and do something. Look, we ain't got nothing to lose, baby. You know what I'm saying? Let's go for it, and let's see what God does in our community. I'm believing God's going to have the greatest comeback in history, the greatest comeback. Amen? Let me zero in on something that I hope watermarks this. Again, what are we doing today? I'm reminding you. Why am I reminding you? Because we forget why we're here. Don't you forget why you're here. And I want to just call this message today, I'm going to call it Grace Up. And, you know, you've heard the term lace up. You know, you got to get ready. I'm going to call it grace up. And grace is a tough word. It's tough to define grace, though I'll attempt to. You probably heard some of these. Grace stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a good definition. Or how about this? Mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. How many of you ever got the mercy of the Lord? Yeah, you're in the room, you have. And grace is receiving what we don't deserve. Has anybody ever been blessed and you didn't even do anything to deserve it, but yet it was God shining his light on you? So grace is something that we all want. To say somebody deserves grace would be a contradiction. You don't grace, if you deserved it, it would be considered a reward. Grace is something that you don't deserve, yet God gives it to you anyway. Somebody said it was unmerited favor of the Lord, undeserved, unearned. And even though these are great definitions, they fall short of what grace really means. Because grace is tough to define, but it's a little easier when you see it, you know it. In fact, let me show you what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy. He said, I want you to watch your life and your doctrine closely. I want you to persevere in them, because if you do, I love this, you're going to save both yourself and your hearers. Watch your life and your doctrine. Doctrine's a Bible word. It really means your belief. Watch what you believe and your life. How many of you have ever met someone who believed one way, but they lived another way? What do we call that? That's exactly right. Somebody asked me one time, I don't want to go to church. Church is a bunch of hypocrites. And I just said to him, we got room for one more. Come on. Yeah, what is Paul saying to him? Look, if what you preach and if you live the same thing you preach, not only will you save yourself, you'll stick out into a culture like ours because you believe one thing and you live the same thing you believe. You'll save not only yourself, you're going to save a lot of people, because the greatest message ever preached didn't come from Pastor Eugene. It came from you when you lived the life that you said you believed. Trust me, your family's watching. Your work, folks at work are watching you. You're preaching every single day. Listen, look right here. Our goal is not that you could come inside of these four walls and declare the greatness of God. Great are you, Lord. Now, this is easy. What's hard is to go outside there and declare the greatness of our Lord. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Oh, at 8 o'clock, they were shouting me down. I don't know, when 9:30. Y'all sleepy today? Watch what happens. So I want to make sure we do that. Let me take you to an Old Testament story very quickly. Vic's going to help me. I got 10 minutes to finish this. Moses has already led Israel out of Egypt. I just want you to mark this. May our house be watermarked by this. Israel has already been delivered out of Egypt through Moses' hand. They've crossed the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army gets swallowed up. They're in the wilderness 40 years. Manna, tapping rocks, water coming out, incredible miracles. They get down to 40 years of wilderness and are about to enter in to the promised land. Everybody say promised land. If we were looking at ourselves, we're much like on that same journey. We've walked through a lot the last 8 years. If you will, Lord, if this is wrong, please forgive me. If you will, the new church is going to be our promised land. And so they're about to go over. Moses is not allowed to go in because of some disobedience. He was told to tap a rock, and he didn't tap the rock. He beat the rock. And God said, no. He's going to die. Joshua is going to become the new leader and general of the army, cross Jordan, and he's going to get ready to start possessing the land. It's amazing. And in the wilderness, it's marked by miracles. In the promised land, it's marked by sacrifice. Miracles, and then a season of sacrifice. They now have to conquer. God's not going before them. Well, he's going before them. He is with them, but they're going to put the effort into it. And so they're going, Joshua's going to send out two spies. They're going to go and look the land, and they're going to come to a city called Jericho. Jericho's famous. It was going to be the first place they were going to try to conquer. Jericho had a history. It was supposed to be the most fortified city on the face of the earth at the time. Walls were so high and wide that they said they could race chariots on top of it. It was thought that it could never be taken. Joshua's going to send out two spies. Those two spies are going to go into Jericho. They are going to find a woman who opens up her door to them and is going to befriend them and going to help them. Her name is Rahab. Rahab has a very interesting occupation. The Bible calls her a harlot. In Opelousas, we would call her a hoochie mama. She is a prostitute. She's a prostitute. She sells herself. She rents herself out. By the way, this is free, by the way. I would say, listen, as long as there is lust in men, when you think of a Rahab, and Heidi and I have ministered to some prostitutes before in the inner city of Houston, it's not just the woman who's at fault. Because there's such this lust, and there's no woman that wants to be in that occupation. She feels like she's lost. Now she's labeled. And she's going to open up the doors to them. She's going to take them in. In fact, the king is going to hear that the two spies have snuck in and is going to search for them. She's actually going to hide them and help them get out. But I want to pick up the story real quick. Go ahead and help me out, Vic, because we're going to close. Before the spies laid down for the night, she went up on the roof. She said to them, follow along. I know that the Lord has given you this land, and a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea, and when you came out of Egypt, what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. So the reputation of these two spies in Israel has already gone through the grapevine and came to her. Watch what she says. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. I said last week, none of us know where our belief stops, but most of us know where our belief began. This is where her belief began. She heard and said, instead of worshiping all these pagans that probably never answered any of her prayers, she said, I'm going to put my faith in the God of Israel before she ever met any of them. She hadn't heard a sermon. She hasn't preached. She didn't listen to a sermon. She doesn't have a Bible. And she says, your God is God. Watch what happens. Now then, verse 12, please swear to me, the Lord, that you will show kindness to my family because I've shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, my mother, brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. And those spies told her, I want you to put a red cord or a red rope, crimson rope, in your windowsill. And when we come back, anybody who's in this house, we'll spare them. Anybody who's outside of this house in your family, if they outside, baby, they ours. But only those inside the door behind the crimson rope. And so she agreed, and she helped them escape. Well, we get back. We see, I'm going to just tell you the story because of my time. Joshua, the Lord is going to come and speak to Joshua. Remember, Joshua is the one who sent out the two spies. Hey, go find out. Go look at Jericho. See if there's a weak spot. See if there's a way we can conquer this city. He sends them out. And then all of a sudden, God speaks to Joshua. And this is what he said to Joshua. I want y'all to march around the city once each day for 6 days. Just march around it. But on the seventh day, I want you to march around it seven times. Ark of the Covenant went in front. And the seventh time, I want the priests, seven trumpets, to blow as loud as they possibly can. And when they blow, I want all of Israel to shout. And when they do, the walls will come tumbling down, and then you go take the city. Quite a strategy, isn't it? Okay, so of course he does it. Of course, seventh day, seven times. Walls come tumbling down. They rush in. They get Rahab out and her family because there's a red cord. They burned the whole city. In fact, let me show you Joshua 6, 24 and 25. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it, and they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron in the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared, read it with me, Rahab, the prostitute, with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And read this with me, and she lives among the Israelites this day. A prostitute. She didn't live outside the camp. They didn't put her outside. They brought her in. They let her come in and live among them. Simply because she said, your God is God. And I'm willing to let you in. And so they took her and they let her live among them. I got a call a couple of weeks ago. Pastor, you, man, I want to tell you who was in church this Sunday. You're not going to believe who was in church this Sunday. And he began to list the labels of this man's life. He was a blank, and he did blank, and you ain't going to believe blank. He was blank. And after listening to this man talk for 5 minutes, you would think this guy was the worst of sinners. And then I said, hey, we used to say the same thing about you when you came in. And he goes, oh yeah, that's right. that's right. What happened? He forgot what he came from. Let me tell you about this chick named Rahab. She does live among them. I don't know how long it took for her to get the label off. I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to take for all of us to get our labels off, but we all come with them. That's why you need to go to a freedom group. We got to get that label off of you. I don't know how long it took, but she ends up marrying. She's going to marry a man by the name of Salmon. Most theologians believe Salmon was one of those spies that went into Jericho. She's going to marry him, and they are going to have a son, and that son's name is going to be Boaz. Boaz is going to marry a woman named Ruth, the book of Ruth. And Boaz and Ruth are going to have a son. His name is going to be Obed. Obed is going to have a son. His name is going to be Jesse. Jesse's going to have some sons, and the youngest of those sons is going to be David, as in King David. And then 14 generations later, David's going to have Solomon, and then you just go down 14 generations, and you're going to get all the way down to a man named Joseph, because Joseph is going to marry a virgin girl named Mary, and they're going to give birth to the King of Kings. Wow. Which is, I don't know how long it took for her to get rid of the label of prostitute, but she got a new label now, don't she? Mother of Kings. There ain't nothing but kings coming out of her line. Rahab the prostitute to now Rahab the mother of kings. Look at me. Joshua's planning his strategy. I'm going to send two spies out. We're going to figure the weak spot out of Jericho. And then the Lord's going to speak to him and give him a new strategy. Joshua was not really sending them out to get a strategy, was he? They were on a rescue mission because God wanted to rescue a woman by the name of Rahab, who just so happened to be a prostitute. What do you call that? You call it grace. Listen, you don't have to get rid of the label to get grace. In fact, grace is what helps you get rid of the label. It's what empowers you so you can get rid of the label. And I don't care what label you brought in today. He's angry. He's mad. She's bitter. They're divorced. I don't know. He's an addict. He's a player. She's a hoochie. I don't know what the label is. I'm just here to tell you all you have to do is put the red cord out over your window, which is representative of the blood of Jesus. You just got to ask him to cover you. And if he covers you, then he'll grace you so you can walk with him. Are y'all tracking with me this morning? I want to pray for you right now. Would you bow your heads? Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we need grace. And Father, may this house be marked by grace. May we never forget the grace you've had on us. While we were yet sinners, you died for us. We couldn't earn it. We can't deserve it. We can't be good enough. In fact, you had grace on us that empowered us so that maybe now we can start getting rid of some of those labels. But it starts by putting the red cord out in front of our house, the crimson, the blood, the color of blood. And Father, that you died so that we could do just that. You might be here today. Christians, would you pray? Would you just pray right now? If you're here today and you're lost, remember, he's just looking. There's only two labels. Lost and found. Maybe today you felt lost. In fact, you've even said those words. I just feel so lost. Maybe today God's on a rescue mission to pluck you out. Been in Jericho for a long time. And maybe he's here today to shine his grace on you. That today could be your day where you and your household could be saved. Grace. Grace. Jesus said you can't see the kingdom or enter the kingdom until you've been born again, until you've put the red cord out, put your trust in him. My birthday is July 30th, 1965, but my spiritual birthday is the summer of 1983, the day I was born again. And you go, Pastor, how do you be born again? It's as easy as A, B, and C. A, admit that you're a sinner. You're sitting in a room full of professional sinners. We've all sinned. B, believe that Christ alone became the bearer for your sin, your guilt, and your shame. It's why he died, to be the penalty payer. While you were yet a sinner, he died for you. And C, confess him as Lord and Savior. If that's you today, this is an invitation to be born again. This is your invitation to hang the crimson cord over the doorpost of your life, to give your life to Jesus. I want to pray for you. That's you today. He's here. His grace is here. I want to pray for you right now. Would you say, Pastor, that's me? Would you just hold your hand up high all over this building? Say, Pastor, you remember me in this prayer. I need the grace of God. Hold up high. Hold up high. Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. I see 11. Hold up high. 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16. I see your hands. 16, 17. Thank you, sir. 17 hands. Congregation, let's pray with each one of these. Would you say this? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me, so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God praise for that? Thank you. Praise the Lord.